Matthew 13, verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. We have all probably read this passage many times and understand its meaning. I want to talk to you tonight, maybe about at least a personal application to me of how I view this particular verse. And I think Joe and I may be coming from different angles on this, but hopefully by the end of the hour, you'll get our meaning with this. For those of you who do not know, I'm a salesman, have been for a number of years. And early on in my career, I got sent to a salesman school, for lack of a better word. And one of the things we had to do was called role play. What role play is, you take a situation, you have two people, you take a situation. I'm one person within that situation, you're another person within that situation, and we act out a scene per that given situation to discuss how would we react if that were to happen in real life. It is a good way to train yourself to react to situations that may come up, to practice these things. Well, I want to do a little bit of that tonight. And so if you'll bear with me, by the end of my hopefully short talk, you will understand where I'm coming from with this. Okay. Within this, I'm going to be a real estate salesman. And you are a home buyer. You're all home buyers. Everyone in here. You are in the market for a home. And tonight, do I have a deal for you? I have a whole subdivision of these. I have a lot of these. Everyone in here will and can qualify to purchase this home. And this is just not any home. This has got anything and everything you could ever want it. If you happen to be the cooking type, it's got the state-of-the-art kitchen. The biggest refrigerator you've ever seen, sub-zero, double oven, things like that. Maybe everyone in your home wants a bathroom in their bedroom. Guess what? Even the kids have their own bathroom with their bedroom, because each and every kid has their own bedroom. And we're not talking about any bathroom. It's got the works. You know, the therapeutic tub, the big shower, all the stuff you see in the Southern Living magazines. It has that and more. It's even got a media room. You know, the big, huge 110 square inch screen with the big lazy boy recliners, you know, all set up, HD TV, streams live, Netflix, all the good stuff. It's got a swimming pool. It's got a basketball court built in it. It's even the yard's big enough to hold football games and soccer games. It's got an indoor batting cage for all you sports people. It's got anything you could ever want in here. And I know what you're probably thinking. None of us in here, Dave, could possibly afford that. Well, hold on a minute. I think you can. Just hear me out. Because everyone in here can have this. My developer is very generous. He's got a bunch of these. He wants to get rid of them. All you got to do, you got to take your house, your existing home. You got to sell it. You got to sell it today. Take all that proceeds, put it in your bank account. You know those two or three or four cars that you have, especially that brand new one you probably just bought about a month ago? You're going to have to sell that one too. You're going to have to sell all of them. Put all that money in your checking account as well. Oh, and that CD or IRA that you have, you've probably had for a long time, you need to cash that one in. And the 401 that you've been saving for 5, 10, 20, 30 years, however long you've got it, have had it, I'm going to need that one cashed in as well and the money put into the checking account. Oh, and any stocks, bonds, anything like that, you've got to liquidate today. And kids, you got to do this too because you qualify for this as well. I know some of you got a car. You're going to have to sell it. You got to give the money to your parents. And this one's going to hit home. You got to sell that cell phone. Got to give that money to your parents too. Everything's got to go. Because once you get all that done, you come to me, you give me all that money, I'm going to give you that. Now, I don't care what the dollar volume is. You may not be worth $100. You may be worth $1 million. It doesn't matter. Everybody gets that once they do that. Now, you kind of see this is sort of extreme. But I think you kind of know where I'm going with this. Oh, and by the way, this is a limited time offer. I don't know how long this is going to happen, going to be going on, but it's a limited time. But everybody gets this. Well, let me bring this back down a little bit. We're finished with our role play for now. I may have one more. Let's bring this back down because this is a attention getter type of role play. I think there's certain things we do that are similar to this in our everyday lives. And try to follow me here. There are two areas in our life that I think that we really focus on and we give a lot of attention to for hope of a gain at a later time. There's two of them. One is education and one is sports. Education. We put our children in at least kindergarten at the age of 5, 6. They've got 13 years of education to go. They're in school from approximately 8 o'clock in the morning to approximately 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's 7 hours. It takes about an hour to get ready and get to school. So let's say 7 o'clock. They probably have at least an hour's worth of homework, sometimes more, sometimes less. So that's 9 hours a day. Our children, for the next 13 years, are going to be doing something with school. Now, let's just take a typical day. That's from 7 in the morning till, for argument's sake, 10 at night. I know that most kids never see 10 o'clock, but let's just say 10 o'clock. So that's 15 hours. So 9 out of the 15 hours of any given of 5 days a week, our children are in school. 60% of their time is spent in school. Of a waking day is spent in school. Well, why is that? Well, we want them to get an education. We want them to get smart. We encourage them. We say, get your homework done. Do well on this test. Study for this test. Why do we do that? Well, they got to go to college. They got to get into a good school. You know, so the better you do in high school, the better you make on your ACT, you can get a scholarship and go to a good school. And then the work really begins as far as studying. They're going to study even more in college. Well, why do we study so much in college? Well, that's so that we can get a good job. Well, when we get that good job, what do? We climb the corporate ladder. Some of us have to go to continuation education classes. I know Noble has to probably go to certain classes to update his stuff a good bit. I have to go to classes. We all have to study. We are working to better ourselves. We also do that in sports. Sports is another big thing. What do? With our little kids, our little boys and little girls at the age of 5, 6? We go to Dick's or Walmart and we get that cute little glove, those cute little cleats, and we take them to the ballpark. And from 5 years old until they graduate high school, we are throwing that ball with them or kicking that ball with them or whatever it is, trying to help them be the best possible athlete or person within that sport, whether it's soccer, football, baseball, tennis, whatever, that they can be. We push them, we drive them, we fuss at them when they mess up. Well, all these, and the reason why we do that is because, let's face it, in the back of every parent's mind, we've got the next Derek Jeter, you know, growing up in our house, or the next, you know, Mark Ingram, playing football, you know, in our house. The next Heisman Trophy winner, he belongs to me. Because why do we do that? Well, such is our career. We hope he gets that college scholarship so he can get drafted in the NFL, and all of a sudden, he's making millions of dollars and he's taking care of mom and dad. You know, that's what we, you know, those are two areas that we push for is education and the sports. And that's why we do them. Those are all noble efforts. There's absolutely nothing wrong with those efforts. But let me ask you this. Whoops. Wrong direction. In John 14, 1 through 4, the Lord tells us, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and I will take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. The Lord has told us He's got a place for us. He's going to prepare a mansion for us. Why do we seem to have such a hard time sometimes believing this? He has told us this. You know, we believe our parents and our coaches when we say, if you study hard enough, if you work hard enough, if you give up some things and really strive, you can do whatever it is you set your mind to do. It doesn't have to be sports. It can be whatever your child is into or you're into. We believe in the American dream, don't we? We all want to live the American dream. The American dream is to live long, work hard, and to collect a lot of stuff. That's the American dream. So why do we find it so hard to believe that Christ will do what, and God will do what He has said He will do for us? And I think most of us here tonight believe that He will. But are we really committed? You know, I think a lot of times it's really not a lack of commitment per se that we have, but maybe a lack of willingness to do what we know we should do. In Matthew 19, 16 through 22, I won't read this, but this is the story we all know of it, of the rich young ruler. Young man comes to Christ and says, Lord, I have kept all the laws perfectly since I was a youth. What else do I need to be in your kingdom? Christ looks at him and says, go sell everything you have. Does it sound familiar? Go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. Well, we know the story where the young man went away sorrowful. And we use this a lot of time as a lesson toward riches, and how hard riches can be a stumbling block toward Christians. And sometimes we look at the young man and say, well, you know, he shouldn't have done that. He should have seen the bigger picture. Well, let me ask you this. Let's do another quick little role play. The year's not AD 30. The year's 2010, let's say. For the past 18 months, you've heard of this person called Jesus from, I'm going to pick a place, Notasulga, Alabama. You've never heard of that before, but I know where it is. From a place you've never heard of before. But you have seen the great works He's done. You've heard the things He has done. And one day He happens to be, and I'm going to apply this to myself, He happens to come to Athens, Alabama. And He's coming to Athens Bible School, where my kids are. And I've been following with great interest. You know, I'll see things on the internet. I watch TV, stuff that He has done. I've talked to people, made phone calls. You know, and I go up to Him and I say, you know, Jesus, what do I need to do to have what You are offering? What if He told me, He said, well, David, I know you got three kids about to go to college, but you know that house you live on Winterset Point? I'm going to need you to sell that. You know that big truck you like so much? I'm going to need you to sell that too. Your wife needs to sell her car. Your kids need to sell their car. Won't get much for that one, but they need to sell it. Once you get all that money together, I want you to give some of it to Paul Williams in South Africa. I want you to give some of it to Dennis Allen in Brazil and some of the brethren in Ecuador. Give all that money away. Take your Bible, because in about 3 days I'm going up to Nashville and then I'm going up the East Coast. I need you to come with me and help me preach. Do Okay, I just put myself in the young, rich young ruler's shoes. Am I willing to do that? Would you be willing to do that? Matthew 6:19-21 says, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is there your heart will be also." Brother, I think we need to ask ourselves where our treasure is. We have to ask, how committed are we? Now, do not get me wrong. There's absolutely nothing wrong with having a nice home. There's nothing wrong with having a big new truck or any other stuff that we have. But if we're not willing to give some of that stuff up, if that career gets in our way, allows us or doesn't allow us to worship or to follow God the way we should, if chasing that college scholarship, whether it be athletics or education, gets in the way of doing what the Scriptures tell us, which is following Christ, then we really need to look to see how committed we are to Christ. Are we willing up to give up everything in order to get something even greater than that? Are we willing to do that? I want us to think about these things and think about if we are allowing things to get in our way and if we are willing to give up all that we have, just as Christ gave up for all that he had.